Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air.
Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Come on, kids, let's go.
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Hey there, it is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can anybody else only hear out of one ear?
I can only hear out of my right ear.
Mine's my left.
I can only hear out of my right ear. This is a well-oiled machine, I tell you.
It really is.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. The show from the floor. We have no desk. I took it apart with an axe. My husband did in the front yard the other night.
Yep.
And so we are doing the show from the floor of the new studio in the Turtle House. Hoss is with me as always. Producer Gary over there trying to figure out the Facebook Live. Gary, is that just pointing at the wall? Is there anybody actually in the frame?
Oh, no, we're all in the shot.
Are we?
I can see all three of us.
And then we have a guest today, and it is my good friend, Chris Becker.
What's happening?
Hooray!
Oh, wait, watch this.
Nice.
Oh, see, that's what we've been needing.
That's for you. So Becker's going to hang out with us today. A little bit later, we're going to kind of feature him as he talks about the creepy world of Burning Man.
Oh, boy.
And we take a little inside look into that. But before we do that, how have you been, Becker?
I've been great. Been having a good summer, trying to stay cool and traveling a bunch, and I'm stoked to be back.
Yep, you look fantastic. I think, have you gotten married since we were here, or have you been back since then?
When
did you guys get married?
We got married in March, so it's been like 3 months, and I don't think I've been on the show since.
Nope, but you had the most beautiful wedding. Becker and I are both wedding photographers, and so the last thing I ever want to do is look at somebody else's wedding photos or video. I just don't care.
Right.
And I probably watched theirs like 4 times.
Really?
Yes. Can I post it on my my blog?
Yeah.
Was there like a plot twist that you weren't aware of? Or?
No, it was just, I mean, I'm going to explain it for you guys. It was just like a simple, like family, like a, what was it, a dry lake bed in Vegas?
Yeah, just outside of Las Vegas. We got married on, again, a dry lake bed just outside of town. Only about 45 people. Very intimate, but it was just kind of a cool little experience. And then we had killer video people and killer photographers, of course, too. We had a bunch of people shooting and stuff. But
So Becker is like a legendary famous photographer from California.
Okay.
I introduced him to a girl here in St. Louis, and he moved to the armpit of the Midwest.
Right.
He's still a bomb-ass photographer. He's just rocking the St. Louis world now.
All right.
And so did you actually have a photographer, or did you just kind of pass around like a camera to some friends?
No, we hired a photographer, one of my heroes of all time, Parker Pfister, out of Asheville, North Carolina.
Yep.
And so he came, and he was the official photographer. And then one of Ashley's friends, Shannon, who's also here in town in Vegas, Shannon mm-hmm. Dugan, she shot some photos and did a great job. And then, of course, I brought my own camera because I wanted to shoot my own bride.
That's really cool.
I was always looking forward to that. And Ashley was so beautiful that day, and it was just so fun to shoot her. And then my camera just kind of got passed around amongst my friends. Jessica Claire shot some photos, Mike Colon, Rich Lander. And people just, so we got a bunch of different just awesome photos. We love our pictures, and now we don't know what to do with them. So, you know.
Uncle Steve didn't shoot any?
No Uncle Bob's there. But when you are, like, if you're a mechanic, the last thing you want to do is come home and work on your car. So if
sure.
you're a wedding photographer, the last thing you want to do is design your album.
Right,
so
yeah.
I totally and completely get it. I was invited to the wedding, but that was when I had surgery.
Right.
And so I couldn't come, but I think I donated to your honeymoon fund.
God bless
Have you guys
you.
Done that yet?
We're going to go on our 1 year anniversary.
That's
fun.
Do you know where you're going?
We're planning on going somewhere tropical. We're thinking actually like Southeast Asia, Thailand or Bali or something.
Oh, wow.
Like that.
Oh,
it's like out of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't bring back any freaky ass diseases.
We'll try not
That's
to.
Why I don't leave the country. Like weird shit happens over there.
We don't want to catch the Zika, so yeah.
No.
Nope, no Zika. Hoss, yeah. How was your weekend?
You know.
I know. I already know how your weekend was, but I'm still asking anyway.
It's been a week.
Hoss is an only child who was like a parent over the weekend.
Yeah, I know how single parents feel now, for sure.
Well, Hoss's dad is already like a grown toddler.
Yes,
pretty much. And so he is diabetic, and he stubbed his toe.
About a week ago.
Yep, and...
He's now in the hospital. It got infected, and they're going to have to do surgery tomorrow, Monday. So I guess today, when you're listening to this. And they're going to have to like take like the tip of his middle toe off.
Right.
Like if you're looking at the piggies, it's the one that had roast beef.
No, it's the brother. The mommy, the daddy, the brother, the sister, the baby. That's okay. How we always did it. That's like the Bernstein Bears.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, like the middle toe or the brother toe.
Yeah. So I guess it's just going to be basically cosmetic. It's going to.
How do you lose just a knuckle of your toe and then?
Well,
do they take a chunk out and then put the top of your toe back on?
From what I understand, what happened was because he's diabetic, the circulation in his feet aren't real good. And he damaged the skin enough that basically, like, just the skin at the tip died.
Right.
And it's just not going to regenerate. So what they're going to have to do is basically kind of like, this is going to sound much more painful than...
Are they going to grow a toe on his rib?
No, they're not. Okay. They're essentially just going to, like...
People grow weird shit on body parts.
Like finger toes.
They're going to, like, shave the bone down.
Yeah.
And then stitch the toe back up over where the old bone was.
Okay.
So he's not losing a whole toe. And it's been a roller coaster because it's gone from Thursday night, the ER doctor going, you're fine, it'll be fine, to Friday morning, his general doctor going, you're going to lose two toes.
Wow.
To... a surgeon going, well, maybe it's okay, to my favorite phrase, just the tip.
Just the tip. My favorite line.
The first of all, who's going to push your dad around in the wheelchair playing Pokemon Go?
It'll have to be me.
Because he's not going to give up his Pokemon Go.
No, it'll be me pushing him in a chair while he's got a leash on the dog.
Yes. Now, the Pokemon Go stories have only gotten more funny over the week. Now, have you played this at all, Becker?
No.
Don't start. I'm telling you. We started a week ago as a joke.
Yes.
And I'm hooked.
That's and hilarious. So, I don't know if you saw on Facebook that we had Hoss in a Pokemon snapback, and then it was like a stuffed Pokemon backpack, but he wore it on the front like Baby Carlos from The Hangover.
Yeah.
Nice. And we went out to St. Peter's Recplex, and there were people everywhere.
Insane.
So apparently, two dead bodies have been found now from people playing Pokemon Go.
I did see that on the news. The thing is, I definitely follow the story. I saw in San Diego two kids like fell off a cliff.
Yes.
Did you see the damn near riot in Central Park?
That's what I was going to bring up next. So a very rare Pokemon spawned in Central Park, and New York lost their damn mind.
Yeah, there's like a 45-second video of just waves of humans, like, just rushing into Central Park. People jumping out of their cars in the middle of the street.
I saw somebody post something like that, and they said it was a Pokemon thing, and I thought they were joking. I thought, no, there's no way that people actually jumped out of a moving car to go. And I was like, wait, no.
They do.
I thought it was like a meme or something.
I have seen signs now that people have posted from at least 10 different states, where instead of the signs on the highway saying don't text and drive,
it says
don't Pokemon and drive.
Well, I believe it. I believe it. But the video that I saw in New York, it looked like the running of the bulls in Spain, but it was the running of the millennials trying to. Yeah, because like you can catch a couple of creatures really, really easy. Like they're everywhere. But then once in a while, like a really rare one, like Jigglypuff, I think.
I got one.
You got a Jigglypuff?
Got it in my dad's hospital room.
You should have taken a picture of that. The funny thing is all of the places that people are posting pictures that they found Pokemon. Hoss sent me one that he claimed was from a friend on a stripper's ass.
Pretty awesome.
Like literally like a stripper on the pole and there's like a Pokemon on her butt cheek.
Yep.
A lot of people are using, who's the little Pokemon that looks like a wiener?
Diglett.
Diglett? They're, because once you find the Pokemon, you can kind of aim your camera anywhere in that direction and he'll show up. So they're aiming it at their crotches and it looks like a...
Yeah, it looks like a wiener pick.
It looks like a wiener pick, but it's Diglett-duff instead. Yeah. But it looks just as uh-huh. You know what? That needs to go at kellymano.com too.
Yeah.
Gary, write down Diglett-duff.
I also I caught a large Pokemon called a Licky Tongue, which looks like a big fat thing with a tongue that just does waves.
That's disgusting.
Like, that's kind of obscene.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, he's kind of awesome.
I think that's when you caught in the strip club.
No.
All
There's
right.
lots of things I caught in the strip club. Licky Tongue is not one of them.
We'll be right back. Much longer than yours, and a team much stronger than yours. Violate me, this will be your day. We don't play, mess around, be DOA. Be on your way, cause it ain't enough time here. Ain't enough lime here for you to shine here. Deal with many women, but treat down fair. And I'm bigger than the city lights down in Times Square. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
G
Kelly Mano Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
She take my money when I'm in need. Yes, yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town that digs on me.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
This song makes me sad.
It's a great song, though.
Well, because it reminds me that Kanye West was actually kind of good at one point before he became an epic douchebag.
I think this is actually, you can point to this as where he jumped the shark.
This was the last good album.
I mean, think he plays this song for his wife?
We want prenup. No. But this album that had this on it and The Good Life and then the album before that with Jesus Walks and all of that stuff was fantastic. And then he just took like a hard left turn into Doucheville and never came back.
Nope.
And then he married the queen of Doucheville and they had spawns. Can you imagine how horrible those children are? Just imagine for a second how freaking... Imagine you're the nanny for North and St. West.
There's no amount of money.
No, I mean, and there's nothing you can do right for those people.
Absolutely not.
You know? What horrible... Now, is Kanye... Has he spoken out at all about the kind of the racism and things like that that we're dealing with? I know a lot of the...
If he's smart, he hasn't. I mean, I haven't seen him say anything.
He speaks out about everything else. I don't know why...
Well, I'm sure he's waiting for someone to wear some sort of his fashion so we can talk about that.
Because he's the one who stopped Mike Myers in his tracks when they were doing that telethon.
That was back
George in... George Bush hates black people. That was right after Katrina.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
And then poor...
And you can see Mike Myers like, dude.
Seriously.
The look on his face was priceless.
You are such an asshole. I don't think I dislike anyone on the planet more than Kanye and Kim. Now, speaking of, everything that's going on in the world right now, I was thinking the other day that if you would have told me, 10 years ago, that when we had a black president, that we would be in the absolute worst racial time of my lifetime, I would have never believed you. If you would have told me, in high school, I really thought, and maybe this was naive in me, I was raised in Granite City, Illinois, pretty much in the middle of a cornfield. Mm-hmm. There were not a whole lot of black people in my school or in my city. However, I was not racist. My parents were not racist. But my grandparents, I never heard them use, any really bad words, but I don't think they would have been happy if I brought home, a black boyfriend.
Right, I get that.
And that was kind of how that whole generation was. And I remember thinking that... We're just waiting for that generation to die because once they're gone, it's just going to get better and better and better. And we're going to get more accepting and more accepting. And now all of a sudden we are in this race war that nobody asked for. And how do you guys feel about, because I've recently changed my stance on this. How do you feel when you hear or see Black Lives Matter? We're sitting here in a room full of white people. I wish I would have had one.
I heard a very, very, very good analogy of what Black Lives Matter means, and it really kind of put things into perspective for me.
Yep.
And one of the common retorts to Black Lives Matter is people saying all lives matter.
Right.
And no one's gonna say that they don't. But to ignore the fact that by whatever means, be it police, homicide within the community, whatever, there seems to be a extraordinarily high rate of black adolescents dying.
Right.
Is the equivalent of running into the middle of a Susan G. Komen race and yelling, there's more diseases than just cancer. Of course there are. That doesn't mean that you can't bring light onto the fact that this is an epidemic.
Right.
The problem that I have with Black Lives Matter is not the message. The problem I have with it is the delivery. And within that delivery is a small sect of people who are doing things completely in opposition of their message.
Okay, and here's a good example of this, because for, and first of all, you know, anything that comes out of my mouth comes straight from my heart, and I'm super confident in my own heart and that I'm not racist, and, but I can't help but just say what I feel.
Sure.
However, for a very long time, the whole Black Lives Matter thing really bothered me, because I almost felt like it was an attack on white people.
And I think there's a lot of people who perceive it that
and
way.
And specifically white people like me who love black people.
Right.
And so I was almost offended by it. And then it hit me, because it was after the Dallas police officer shooting.
Yep.
That, you know, we already had known that five officers were dead, and we watched the Dallas police line up. And these young black thugs are in front of the cops, and they're flexing their muscles and lifting their and they're taunting the cops,
right.
And screaming Black Lives Matter. And then it was at that moment that I realized that those young waste of piece of shit of the earth don't represent the Black Lives Matter movement any more than the Westboro Baptists represent Christians.
That's correct.
And you can take a scoop out of any group of people and find pieces of shit.
Yes.
And so there are pieces of shit in the Black Lives Matter, 100%. But there's also a lot of really good people with a good message.
Yes, there are. And I think what needs to be done, just as there isn't any sect, and you can say that even in regards to the Muslim community when you talk about ISIS and things like that. And, you know, the Muslim religion and the people who follow Muslim are quick to say, like, these are extremists. These people don't represent all of Islam. Somebody high up in Black Lives Matter has to come out and condemn them.
Right. And I think some people do, but unfortunately that's not a salacious enough story for the media.
No, it's not.
But the young black guys showing their muscles to cops who just lost their brothers an hour ago makes the news.
But at the same time, you then have articles, and I forget who published it and what this woman's name was, but there was an article that made its rounds this week that is a woman who is an organizer for Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Who is a large, physically large black woman. And her message is, I hate white people. I don't want you at my rallies. If you're coming around, it better be to hand me a check and the keys to your car because you owe me money and reparations. And basically just, it goes downhill from there.
And people like that should not even be shown on the news. They are such a small percent of our country.
It is people like that who, when that happens, the rest of the organizers of Black Lives Matter need to kick her to the curb.
Right.
Because you're doing nothing to push equality at that point. You are, at that point, becoming just as racist, just as divisive, mm-hmm. and just as separatist as the people that you claim you're trying to take out of power.
I think the for the longest time, the biggest racist in this world is Spike Lee. I mean, he is so, like divisive and tries to get people to like hate white people and stuff like that. And
I've heard a lot of stuff like that from him.
He may have some, you know, obviously some issues. And I think, again, it's hard to sit here again. Like I grew up in a very white neighborhood in a very white county in Southern California. I think we graduated 600 people in my graduating class and there were 4 black people.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, again, didn't have a lot of experience, but never had a problem with them. They were super nice. And then, again, I did move to St. Louis, and there's tons of yard signs, Black Lives Matter, in our neighborhood. And then I've also kind of driven around different parts of St. Louis and kind of in kind of some rougher areas of town, downtown St. Louis and stuff, and there's signs that don't make the news, but it says, we must stop killing each other.
Absolutely.
Because for every time a white police officer kills a black person, it's like there's 10 times as many people, like black on black homicide and all that stuff.
That's the number one killer of African Americans is
homicide.
So it is sad. I feel for those people, and I always think back to the Chris Rock thing. He goes, none of you white people would trade places with me, and I'm rich. He's like, you white privilege and
So I just want to encourage those of you who were like me as of weeks ago, who kind of just got offended by the Black Lives Matter signs and things like that, to just remember all the good people that are in that organization trying to do a good thing. One thing that continuously pisses me off that I don't feel like a lot of people talk about is they keep lumping the black men that are killed by police or someone else, they keep lumping them in the same category when they are very, very different stories. Trayvon Martin, the little boy that was hunted down by George Zimmerman and just basically killed in cold blood, that was horrible.
Yes.
You can't compare him to Mike Brown.
No, you can't.
Who robbed a store, punched a freaking police officer.
Went for his gun.
Went for his gun. You don't put them in the same. The same thing with Eric Garner.
And to that degree on Mike Brown, there is, and you still hear it chanted at all these rallies, is the false slogan of hands up, don't shoot.
Do you know, do you honest to God know who I blame all of this on?
It's the kid. It's the friend.
It's from the day that this happened, the day that Mike Brown was shot, his little skinny ass friend, yep. Dorian Johnson, I think.
Yeah.
They stuck microphones in front of his face and he lied to the world. And
he's
the
one who incited the riots. You can trace it back to that story.
He said we were running away. They shot him in the back and the world went nuts.
Yep.
And it took what, a day, 2 days later for the autopsy to come out or for them to confirm he was not shot in the back.
Well,
he
and
was
the
shot
problem
in the front.
Is you have so much distrust that they could show you, which they did in black and white, that that's not what happened. And you still have a large segment of the community because of the distrust of the police department. Aren't going to believe that story. They're going to believe that it's a conspiracy and a cover-up.
Yeah. And I have to believe that we have really good police officers out there.
We do. I know a lot of people will bring this up and it gets pushed to the side. And I firmly believe that this is part of the problem. Is we are going on almost 25 to 30 years now of pop culture, be it movies, TV, especially gangster rap,
mm-hmm.
promoting a distrust of law enforcement, right. violence against law enforcement, and settling your civil disputes with guns and firearms.
It's ridiculous.
You know, look, dude, I love NWA and Easy and Snoop and Dre as much as the next person. There's a lot of blood on those hands.
There is, because there's a lot of people that grew up in those situations. You and I,
and they can relate to it. And I get that. I do. But
it fuels their fire.
Absolutely, it has, and it glamorized the gangster lifestyle. The other thing that I think you're seeing, to get back to your original point of you didn't think that we would be in this situation right now, having a black president and having race relations the worst they are.
I think
it's a combination of two things. I think it is the very real still racial tensions and discrepancy between how people are treated.
Yes.
And I think you also now add in the sense of entitlement that comes with the millennial generation.
Oh, babies.
And they are very quick to go, I want my stuff. Where's my stuff? I don't have my stuff, it's not my fault. It's your fault. It's your fault that I don't have my stuff.
And most of them don't have jobs, so they ain't got shit to do but go protest.
So I think you put those two things together and you have created a amazing ball of just self-fulfilling hate and a feeling of constant persecution,
yeah.
and always being held back. And a sense of entitlement that's never going to be fulfilled.
Becker, did your parents think you were crazy when you moved here? Because didn't you move here right before the Mike Brown shooting happened?
Yeah, 2 months. I got here in June, and that happened in August. And
didn't you see a dead body like your first month here?
On Christmas Eve, we found a dead body. and that's what we decided.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. It was literally Christmas Eve. We're like, oh, we better call the police because that guy does not seem to be doing well. And
that guy is dead.
Apparently, there were 18 rounds fired.
Someone got run over by a reindeer?
Pretty much. So.
It's not a fun time to live in. Like I said, I love police officers. I love black people. I think that there's bad people. Like I said, there's two camps in the world. You're either a piece of shit or you're not. I say that all the time.
Yeah.
That's regardless of what you look like.
Right, because guess what? There's piece of shit black people. There's piece of shit police officers. And there's piece of shit white people. They're everywhere. But it does frustrate me kind of to no end whenever we keep lumping all these killings in together when they're completely different.
That's the media.
You know, because like that poor guy, I think his name was Eric Garner, selling cigarettes in New
Baltimore.
York, saying I can't breathe, and died. Those cops should have went to jail. I don't know what ended up or how it happened. But then you've got the guy slumped over in the car with his girlfriend on Facebook Live, telling the world what happened, but nobody saw what happened before.
Yeah,
I mean, what she's saying could have been completely true, but it also could have not.
Yeah.
Nobody freaking saw it. But I know there's a YouTube video of her 3 days before smoking pot with her kid in the car.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is quit telling me that their arrest record doesn't matter, because it does. Because if you're a police officer pulling someone over, or if you're just a person in general, and you got, okay, you got caught like smoking a doobie, and then you got in a bar fight and you got a DUI, okay, not a big deal. But if you, if your record says assault, assault, assault and battery, right, robbery, carry a legal firearm, if you got a freaking record as long as my arm, and a police officer is approaching your car, he has the right to approach you with caution.
Yep.
And so these people who are throwing a fit and saying that, you know, don't share their arrest record, that has nothing to do with it.
No,
that
it does.
Has everything
because
to do with it.
Because as someone who has many friends who are city cops, not necessarily in St. Louis, but around different municipalities and states, when you get pulled over, by the time that cop has walked up to your door, he's run your plates.
Yes.
And he knows who's supposed to be in that car, yep, and what they've done in the past.
Yep.
So that officer is going to know if they're coming up on someone who's, all right, this guy legitimately is just speeding, or here's a guy who's speeding who's also, you know, committed four or five felonies.
Right. And like I said, nobody's perfect, you know.
No.
You got a couple mug shots, you know, we're not judging you. But when you're accused of these violent crimes over and over again, don't get mad when people are releasing his arrest record if
right,
it's that bad.
Right.
You know, when I get pulled over, because I make conceal and carry, automatic second cop car every time.
Yeah.
In a minivan, 5'1", white girl. The second I get pulled over for not using a blinker because my mirror's duct taped or whatever, or running over curbs, I'm the worst driver ever. A second cop car coach, because they run my plates and it tells them who I am
or what you have
and what I have. And so second cop car shows up.
That's never a good thing. I've only had the second car one time.
And that means you're getting arrested.
It should have, but I didn't.
The one time that a second car showed up, my husband got arrested. Have we ever told that story on the air? I think we did. But anyway, so we love everybody. If I would have known we would have gotten this far into this, I would have totally invited some of my black friends on here. And yes, I have more than one. I have lots of them. My tokens. We should have Carlos on.
Carlos would be good.
I just saw Carlos 2 days ago.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm 7 foot tall and white. I grew up in a white neighborhood,
right,
too, but playing basketball competitively, I've been just as much in the black community as I have the white community for most of my adolescence.
I mean, none of us have the answers.
No, none of us do.
You know.
And that's, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, or whatever. Like, the answer's simple, and that's just, people are people, man.
Yep. And stop shooting the damn cops.
Stop shooting anybody.
You know.
Use your words like a big boy or girl.
Whatever you are. We'll be right back. Let's talk about something lighter.
All right.
Let's talk about all the perverts at Burning Man.
And Britney's new record.
Okay. Should I play Britney? I downloaded it today.
Sweet. It's really awesome.
God, I don't want you to get a boner. It's going to get weird.
No, I won't.
We'll be right back. It's the Kelly Manor Show.
Birthday found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. But she ain't messing with no broke. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head. Now I ain't saying you a gold digger, you got knees. You don't want a dude to smoke, but he can't buy. You go out to eat, he can't pay, y'all can't leave. His dishes in the back, you gotta roll up your sleeves. But while y'all washing,
The Kelly Mano Show. She finally found a job that doesn't require a bra. The Kelly Mano Show is on the air. California.
Becker, I played this song for you.
Thank you.
Did people in California go crazy when this song came out?
I think it was a cool song.
Because all of us white kids in the Midwest did.
I think it's pretty cool, yeah.
For reals, yo.
I mean, is this probably the, like, I think this is the equivalent of the grunge world's Nirvana.
This is a big one.
I mean, this is probably one of the biggest crossover rap songs ever.
I'd say Nothing But a G-Thang.
Yeah.
Gin and Juice.
Well, so what came... Well, this came out... So Gin and Juice... No. Dr. Dre's The Chronic.
G-Thang was 91?
Yes, but that was pre-white people liking rap music. Listen.
I've been liking rap since Run DMC back in the day.
Okay, so I started with Dr. Dre's The Chronic, Snoop Dogg's self-titled or What's My Name, and then that's when this came out and everybody lost their mind. I think.
I agree, but I would say that... I would venture to say that... Dre's Chronic is what really introduced white people to rap.
We
92,
Gary. We need to do a... Because
those songs on that album were inescapable.
We need to do two things. We need to do, one day, top 10 songs you would take on a deserted island.
All right.
Like, if you had to listen to the same 10 songs over and over and over again. And then I also want to start a kind of like a storyteller series with songs, because... You telling me the story not too long about the Blue October song.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody knows what that is. I think somebody think that that might be sung to a girlfriend. I mean, obviously with the lyrics, people kind of get it.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple other songs like that. So I think we need to start kind of presenting songs to people and telling the story behind it.
Sure.
And playing them. So two things we're going to do. First, we're going to talk to Becker. I've got your applause ready. Oh, wait. No, I don't. That was Tupac. I'm so sorry.
Okay, Pac won't be quiet.
Here comes your... There you go.
Yay!
So we often... we got in a discussion. We have a Kelly Mano chat group on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, go find it. Don't go to the Kelly Mano business page. I've been trying to take it down. Facebook won't let me. Facebook are assholes. But we have a chat group where we talk about stuff. And somehow we got on the topic of Burning Man.
Well, I think Burning Man has started to become amongst us... as the where's the last place you would ever put Kelly Mano?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't even know what had no idea what Burning Man was until I know who Christopher Becker was.
Yeah.
And then I would follow his photography blog, and then I'm like, what is this weird ass shit? So I to me it seems like a really dirty place where wind blows. Is there music? Is there concerts? Like live music?
There's not a lot of live music. There's tons of music. It's usually just amplified, and they have little clubs, and it's a lot of electronic and dance and
like DJs and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, like
they'll have like the big DJs will go out there and stuff like that, and.
And
take
so,
a lot of ecstasy, bring your glow sticks.
Okay. Now Becker has sent me photos. Not sent me photos. You have a link to all of these Burning Man photos. Now, as a photographer, I can look at it and go, you know what? That's a pretty cool photo, but it's a guy in a tutu and his dong's hanging out.
Like, yep.
So
that's Burning Man in one sentence.
Do people just walk around with their wieners hanging out and they're okay with you taking photos of it?
Some people do. And yes, you do have to ask for consent to take photos, just like you have to ask for consent to do other things at Burning Man.
But don't you think if you're walking around with your wiener out, you assume somebody's going to take a picture of you?
One might make that reasonable assumption, but you're still supposed to ask for consent. And I always do because, again, I want to publish my photos and share my photos on my blog and stuff like that. And so, you know.
So you go there. How long are you there for?
Well, again, it depends. The festival.
Real time or peyote time?
Yeah, right.
What does peyote time mean?
It's about a week long. And then sometimes I've gone for.
I don't know what that means.
It's a drug.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I don't know.
It's a really, really strong hallucinogenic.
Pardon me for being a good girl. Go on.
Right. So, again, sometimes I've gone for 4 or 5 days. Sometimes I go for 7 or 8 days. This time I'm going for the full time. So
you're going for a week?
I'm going for 10 days.
Where?
Are you taking a trailer bus?
Wait.
I'm not, no.
Stop a damn second. Okay. First of all, you are a dad of a beautiful little girl.
Yes.
Have you thought about how hard it's going to be away from her for 10 days?
Yes.
You are going to be miserable. Listen to me. Look in my eyes.
I see you.
The first couple of days is going to be great because every parent needs a vacation.
Yes.
Do not go for 10 days. You're going to come home early. You're not going to make it.
I know. That's what my wife keeps telling me, that you're not going for 10 days. And so I'm like, okay, well, we're just trying to figure some stuff out and logistics and all that and whatnot. So,
is she
going to
go with you again?
She's not going this year. She didn't go last year because we had just had the baby. So last year I only went for like 4 days. And this year she didn't go because she has weddings booked that weekend. I do not. So I'm like, well, I'm going to Burning Man.
What do you sleep in a tent?
Well, the last couple years I've slept in my friend's RV, which has been really nice. This year they're not going, so I'm sleeping in a tent or on a hammock or on a couch, or I'm not exactly sure.
How do you eat?
Again, I still stick to my, you know, me, I'm all about the clean eating and stuff like that. And so you have a cooler, we have a little camp. Now, I've gone for many years now, and we go with a great group of people, and we all have, like, collectively shared, like, pots and pans and stuff like that. So we have a little kitchen.
Wait a minute.
Stoves.
So there's not, like pop-up, like, chicken places?
There's
or?
Absolutely no commerce to be had out there. Now, some camps will, like, serve food, and you can just go by and wait in line, and they'll give you free food.
It's like being on Naked and Afraid with no yes. with no video cameras.
Correct.
That's pretty much what it is.
With lots of video cameras.
What a
your money means precisely dick.
What which you also see a lot of.
Well, yes.
What yeah. makes you want to go? What is fun about it? Now, I could see being away from electronics. I think that would be cool. But aside from that, what is cool about Burning Man?
So the first time I went several years ago, actually got uninvited to a friend's wedding. And so I was like, okay.
How did you manage that?
That's a whole nother long story. I'll tell you off the air. But so got the invitation. And so we're like, hey, let's go to this thing called Burning Man. And I'm, again, a pretty conservative kid from Orange County. And I was like, that does not sound like fun. I did a lot of camping growing up and just being out in the desert. Like you said, dusty and it's hot. And it's like, it didn't sound like fun at all. But once I went and experienced the craziness that is Burning Man, I've literally committed to going every single year. It's my favorite week of the year. I absolutely love it. You do get disconnected from reality. You're not like, you know, worried about all the commerce and stuff like that. There's no money to spend.
Is there Wi-Fi at Burning Man?
Barely. Sometimes maybe you can get a text message out here and there.
Like somebody brings their own hotspot.
Someone brings that kind of stuff. And like, again, I was doing like for years, I would do my Instagram a day and I didn't want to lose my streak. So I would search around traveling, looking for the Wi-Fi and just to get an image out. Now I'm like, I don't care if I do that or not.
And why do they call it Burning Man?
Well, because they actually burn a man. They burn a big statue, and it's just kind of... It started, 30
Is that like at the end of the week?
The second to last night they burn this thing.
You just burn it, and then he goes to ashes, and then you all cheer and go home?
It's a big old part of it. Fireworks show, pyrotechnics, it's quite a thing. It's the Burning Man fireworks show is better than any fireworks show you've ever seen anywhere. Even
now,
at the
that
Olympics.
Would excite me.
I'm not joking. It's so insane. And they shoot them only a couple hundred feet off the ground. And you're actually a lot closer than you are when you normally see fireworks. And you can like feel the heat. And it's just a big, crazy party.
So, Now comes the real question.
Okay.
So you're walking through Burning Man on your average Wednesday afternoon, maybe Wednesday evening. How many people are within eyesight doing the hibbity-dibbity in public at Burning Man?
None.
No way.
None. Yeah.
Yes.
Until they like, light the Burning Man.
I've been. This will be my ninth year going, and I think I've seen one couple engaging in adult activities in public.
Okay.
Now again, in tents, RVs. You know, there's a tent called the Orgy Dome, and you know, and
stop
see?
It.
Yeah. But it's like, you know,
and you just go in there, and that's what you
if you want to go in there. You can't go in as a single guy because I'd be like, hey,
of
what's
course
up?
Not. You can go in as a single girl. Though.
You can go in as a single girl.
Double standard.
Yeah. So, it was funny because Ashley and I walked up to it one year and we were about to go in because we just wanted to see what was going
right.
on. But then we just chickened out. We're like, we're not orgy people.
Yeah. Because once you get in, you're committed. You
yeah,
can't.
What, you can't like go in and go, oh, you know what? Yeah, not so much. So we're more like just threesomes and foursomes kind of people, but not full on orgies. So,
good
you know.
God.
Yeah.
Well, since I'm learning more about you than I even want to know.
Yeah.
Here's another question.
Okay.
How naked have you gotten at Burning Man?
Because I've struggled with body issues for many, many uh-huh. years. Like I have not got a lot of naked, but as I have been working out and feeling better and,
are you going to be a streaker this year?
Last year I got down to like boxer briefs and flip flops. And I was cruising around a little bit like that. This year, I do plan on going shirtless a lot this year.
Good,
because, like,
good for
again,
you.
I've lost 90
it.
Pounds. Yeah.
You earned it.
And I'm, like I said, I've been working out and I have the very beginning of my six pack starting to show, and so we're getting there, and so you know, whatever. But like again, it's about comfort, and
so you're not like super naked.
No, and there's the thing is again, on an average day, only about 10% of the people are naked.
Why does everybody wear goggles?
Well, because it's dusty. You can't go anywhere without you have to have your goggles with you. Because again, the dust will come up at any time, and you got to just have goggles and a little mask so you can breathe.
You're essentially in the middle of the salt flats, aren't you?
It's not a salt flat. It's a dry lake bed north of Reno, Nevada. And again, in the afternoon, the wind comes up, and so there are some crazy dust storms sometimes where you literally have to get off your bike and you just sit down and you just let the dust like it feels like baby powder. It's actually really good for the skin.
Well, that sounds great for you. I would if somebody was like, you can go to Burning Man or you can stab a toothpick in your eye. I would go with the toothpick.
So the week that he goes to Burning Man, you want to go downtown and have dinner at like a 5-star restaurant?
That would be cool. Right. No, I don't like 5-star restaurants, but I'll go to Charlie's.
All right. That's
cool. Like my favorite place ever.
Or Max and Nermus, where you get free cookies.
Yes, they did the best tortilla soup. My husband hates me for my lack of liking food. I hate food. Food does not excite me. I don't get excited about it. I don't remember restaurants, and I would eat Taco Bell every single day.
Yep.
But he is a foodie, and he loves to learn about the food, and yeah, I constantly disappoint him. So why don't you take my husband on a date?
I want to go to Max and Irma's to get tortilla soup.
Sweet. Hey, Becker, why don't you plug your weight loss website? Because I know a lot of people have, you know, they know you've lost 90 pounds. You're kicking ass and taking names, and you're coaching people through this. So if they want to learn more about it, where can they go?
You can go to thelazymanschallenge.com.
Lazymanschallenge.com. We will also post that link at kellymano.com. And can we post the link to your not safe for work Burning Man photos?
Yeah, as long as you put a big not safe for work.
I'm going to put a sign that says there are wieners in here.
Do not click this link.
There are wieners in here.
You might get fired. But that site is burningbecker.com.
And again, we'll link that at kellymano.com. And we'll just put a big sign that says wieners ahead.
Wieners ahoy.
Kelly Meadow Show.
The older she gets,
the more she understands Britney's 2007 meltdown.
Back once again.
It's the Kelly Meadow Show.
Stop talking.
Hoss's girlfriend coming out with some good new music.
Yeah, it's really good.
Britney's back. It's Britney, bitch. She does not age.
No, not at all.
Like, and she's had kids, too. I get if you're, you know, if you haven't had kids, they don't give you wrinkles, you know.
Right.
But yeah, so new Britney here. Becker, you'll know the answer to this. We photographers use something called a shoot sack, which is kind of like a purse for photographers. Can I wash mine?
Probably.
Can you find out?
Sure.
Okay. It's pretty important.
Okay. Did the pig accident or something like that? Or I know the covers are washable. I'm not sure about the actual.
No, I need to wash the whole thing.
Hmm.
Because
I don't want to know why.
Well,
you're about to find out.
Hoss got a weird text from me yesterday.
Yep.
I carried around a dead bunny in it for about 2 hours.
Wait, dead?
Well, it did die because nobody would help me. I texted Hoss yesterday and I said, okay, I'll just tell you how it started. First of all, you should know I have a giant bleeding heart for animals. God gave it to me. Sometimes I freaking hate it because it's too big. I can't set anything aside and like, I can't, like, I don't even like whenever like insects get hurt. And so I was shooting a wedding with Donna, and we were out Main Street St. Charles doing the wedding party group photos or whatever. And a cloud came over the I really don't even like telling the story because it's sad, but a cloud came over the thing. So I switched the bridal party to the other side. And when they were walking across, one of the groomsmen accidentally stepped on a baby bunny.
Oh.
I've got an entire, like, it was like a 16 person wedding party. It was huge. And the baby bunny was pretty clearly to me, mortally wounded. Like, I knew it wasn't going to get better. and he was also in a lot of distress.
Yeah.
And so without even blinking, I picked him up and I put him in my shoot sack because our shoot sacks are made of neoprene and they like hug your lenses.
Yeah.
And so I pick up the bunny and I stuff him in my shoot sack. I stick him down one of the holes, which is funny enough, the opposite hole that I carry my gun in. So bunny, nice. So baby bunny on one side, gun on the other. Okay. And
it's for lenses, not dead bunnies and guns.
And so, well, the bunny was still alive.
Okay.
So the whole wedding party is like, did she just put that bunny in her purse? And I'm like, the hell else do you want me to do with it? I'm not going to leave it flopping here. I'm not, you know, if it's going to die, it's at least going to die in peace. And once I put him in my shoot sack, he was very calm. He was still breathing, but he was very calm. And Donna, without even questioning what I was doing or why I was doing it, like continued posing my bridal party and then handed me my camera and I just kept shooting. And so we had about another 40 minutes or so to shoot out at Main Street St. Charles with the dying bunny in my pocket bleeding. And so I'm like, Donna, text my husband, tell him I have an injured bunny and he has to come get it. Now he's used to this because I find dogs and crap all the time. I found a bat a few weeks ago. A bat in the daytime hanging upside down at my rehab place, but he was already dead. Otherwise, I would have brought him home. So then, like, I was trying to get the bunny out to this Baldwin Wildlife Sanctuary so that they could put him down, but they closed at 7 p.m. And so I'm texting Hoss. I'm texting my husband. I'm putting on Facebook. I'm like, is anybody out there that can come get this bunny from me and take it to this wildlife center so it can be put down? And nobody helped me. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm like, Donna, take over. Head to the reception. I'm rushing this bunny to the vet clinic. But then he died on the way there. So aww. So I pulled over and buried him. But I texted Hoss and I said, what did my text say?
The text was, hey, what are you doing? I need you to come here. I have a bunny in my purse.
And he wrote back,
you're doing Pokemon wrong.
He's like, you're doing Pokemon wrong.
Oh, man.
I'm like, shut up! You know? But I don't know. It was just instinct for me to, like, scoop him up. So But I clearly need to wash my shoot sack because it was pretty...
Bunny blood?
Yeah, and it was on me, and it was on everything. And
I wouldn't recommend throwing it in the washing machine, but, you know, just like a little sponge and some soap and water, you'd be
there's
as good
as
a
lot of blood.
Well.
And, yeah, I think I get that from my parents. Like, I know growing
up. My dad's the same way.
Yeah, and it comes, neither one of my parents are really, like, big animal lovers.
Right.
I mean, they have a dog and stuff, but, like, my dad always helped people. Like, he would never, like, pass somebody on the side of the road and not get out and help push.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember that growing up. And my mom is, like, a jump in and helper. Like, if somebody falls, if something happens, she's, like, the first one there. What can I do? How can I help? And I got that instinct from them. So when I see a flopping bloody bunny, the first thing that pops in my mind is put it in your purse. To where everybody else was screaming and running and, oh my God, why? And I'm like, quit it.
I think that I would have helped, but I would have taken a different approach than you.
You would have just killed the bunny?
Yeah.
I
think if you're to the point where you know that it's not an if, but a win.
Yes. It did.
Just put it out of its misery.
It crossed my mind because I have my conceal and carry. However.
Oh, I would have just. You're not going to like this, but I would have taken it by a second, just gone.
No.
Twisted it. They wouldn't have even felt it.
Yeah. No, I see. I couldn't. I mean, like it.
I wouldn't have wanted to, and I would have cried about it probably, but.
Oh, I cried when I buried it. I cried. I cried because I was mad, because right. I had already cried earlier that day because another bad thing had happened.
Did you go back and punch the groomsman?
No. He felt really bad, and I don't even know if we know which one did it, but I was more just.
Was it drunk Sean?
No. I was just, luckily, because my car looks like a homeless person lives in it, I had a spoon, and I had a Cane's chicken cup, and so I put the dead bunny in the Cane's chicken cup, and then I dug with a spoon some, like, park in Ladue or something.
Nice.
But I was just mad, at God. Like, really? Why? Why am I burying this dead bunny when I'm supposed to be freaking working? Like, there's a wedding reception going on right now, and, you know.
Right.
And when I got to the wedding, I lied to the whole wedding party and told them that I took it to the animal sanctuary, and it was fine.
All right.
Because I didn't want to. I knew that the whole night would be about the bunny.
You didn't want to bring the room down. Yeah.
No, and because I had carried it around so long in my purse, and it was just so interesting to them that they kept looking at it. And I'm like, don't look in the next pocket. You'll see a giant Sig Sauer. But so the minute I walk into the reception, everybody's like, where's the bunny? How's the bunny? Where's the bunny? So I just lied and said, I made it to Baldwin. He's fine.
You diffused the situation different than me, because I would have been, ask me where the bunny is.
Where's the bunny?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Not the bunny, because it's effing dead.
Shut up. You're such an asshole. I hope your dad listens to this show, and I hope that he's mean and cranky on pain medicine and yells at you. Because nobody loves animals like me except for your dad.
I love animals, too, but I think I would have been like, you killed the
bunny.
Well,
you didn't come and save the bunny. Nobody on Facebook, none of my Facebook friends would come and get the damn bunny.
I was dealing with my own bleeding, floppy person at the
that
time.
That was your mom.
That was my mom.
But she was all fixed up by then. I think there was something wrong with my Facebook post and people didn't see it. I didn't see it.
No, I saw it.
You saw it? Okay, then nothing's wrong. People are just assholes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because I have what, like 3,000 friends? And all of the people I've helped like over the years, and not one person could just go, hey, let me come get the dead bunny in your purse and take it from you. Instead,
I didn't realize it was mortally. I didn't realize that it was that injured. You said you had an injured bunny. In my mind, I'm like, all right, it's got a broken leg or something. I didn't realize that it was crushed.
It was mortally wounded. But the good news is that once I put him in my pocket, he was completely calm. And he just breathed until he passed, which was like a couple hours later. He didn't struggle, and he didn't die out in the middle of the field flopping around. And so... Right. I like to think I was the Dr. Kevorkian of the bunny world.
Sure.
You know, things like that. Speaking of animals, Piggy Smalls. Piggy Smalls, who became a man last week. Did you hear that, Becker?
What?
Piggy Smalls, it was just the last show. Piggy Smalls became a man last
week.
Piggy
Smalls learned the touch of a lady.
He did. And it was by accident. It was accidental belly rub, a little bit too low. And but Piggy Smalls is blowing his coat.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know that this happened because he didn't do it last year. But so we have a pet pig, Piggy Smalls, and he is losing all of his hair. And apparently pigs do this thing called blowing their coat. And they literally lose all their hair, and they're like a naked pig. So he should be naked in like 2 weeks.
How long will that last?
I don't know. But when he gets naked, I have to put sunblock on him every time he goes outside because he'll get burned.
Or butter. One of the two.
I'm still trying to make a good impression in this neighborhood. And Piggy Smalls is getting more and more brave. He's going like 4 yards away. The other day, I let him out for like 30 seconds, and then I go back in to get my bell to ring. He's freaking gone.
Nice.
I'm in a Duck Dynasty shirt with no bra, bedhead, socks and sandals, and I'm running through my neighbor's backyard, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, trying. And he was in my neighbor's garage like 3 doors down.
Is this the same neighbor?
No, this was a different neighbor.
Okay.
The neighbor I woke up at midnight?
Right.
Yeah, no. That neighbor did get her tree peed on by a kid that was not mine.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, she brought out her little granddaughter, and she was like, oh, can I play with that little boy? And right then he dropped around and started peeing on her tree. It was some friends of ours who stopped by.
Nice new neighborhood. I love it.
God, all I wanted to do was make a good impression in this neighborhood and convince people that we weren't Hoosiers.
To be fair, you did send the good child over there to make a good impression afterwards.
Oh, I did. Because then, like, Lucy's our good kid, you know? And so I was like, Lucy, I'm like, she was out playing. I'm like, stay over there and play with the little granddaughter, you know? And they did. They had a good time. Because Lucy's like, hi, I'm Lucy. You want to play?
Lucy's the ambassador of public relations for the Battle House.
Nice. She pretty much is. All right, anything else you guys want to talk about? Haas, you're dying.
No, I'm good. I'm chilled out right now.
Becker's all in shape.
This is the best I've been all weekend. I'm not moving.
I know. Don't fall asleep. So thanks for joining us again, Becker. I'm glad that you came out to the new Turtle House. Hopefully next time you come, I will have a desk.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Hopefully next week, by the next show, we will have a desk. But who knows? Maybe we should have thought about that before we took a sledgehammer to it in the front yard.
All right, I mean,
it was pretty dead.
It was dead.
It was deader than your bunny.
Shut up. You're such a shithead.
Hey, seriously, though, one of these days, you got to just put Burning Man on the bucket list. I could have spent the whole show talking about it, but again, it's so crazy. It's so hard to explain, but it's good, clean fun.
But I don't even camp.
I don't really like camping either. I'd much rather stay in a fancy hotel, but Burning Man is different. It's a life experience. so much fun.
If I can get a tour bus, I'll do it.
Rocky is like, Mom, when are we going to go camping? I'm like, when Uncle Chris takes you.
Right.
Because your mom and dad don't camp. It's like pretending to be homeless. Like I
told you, camping for me is a hotel that doesn't have room service.
Exactly.
It's roughing it.
That would be rough. So we love you for listening. We're going to try to get in a second show this week. Things have been a little bit crazy with the move. Luckily, the Mano children are heading back to school in a couple of days.
Nice.
The heavens will open. And we will have lots more shows coming for you. Until then, as always, if you like the show, share the show. It's so important because if you don't tell anybody about it, then they're not going to listen. So share the damn show. Share it on Facebook.
Word.
Share it on asshole Facebook. All right. Thanks again, Becker.
Yeah, anytime.
Tell your beautiful wife and baby I said hello.
Will do.
And to the listeners, until we see you next time, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart-assy, hoss.
Wieners ahoy.
Talk to you guys next week.
As far as we know, Norma Jean had a 7-year itch. Some like it high to a fever pitch. Sandy, Danny, summer love, pink ladies, tea, but the moon above. That's all in the past. Legends built to last, but she's got something new. She's a power girl. She's a da 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 da. Come on, fellas, place your bets, 'cause you ain't seen nothing yet. She's the top of the top. She's the best. Yes, scary baby, ginger posh, sporting. Yes, now that's all right. We're the Spice Girls, ready to go. Ladies and gents, can you please take your seats?
Thank you very much.